Welcome to First and 15, the show that takes you around the UK flag football scene. Sponsored by Nuola, your customised sportswear supplier.
Hello and welcome to what used to be called the First and 15 Southern Region coverage. I say used to because we've changed a few things around here, including our name. If you're looking for us now in your feed, you'll see us as part of the First and 15 network still, but as a podcast show called From Flags to Hitches. One of the first updates we've made is a new cast member, Matt Burke. And Matt's here to tell you why and what we've changed.
We thought there was a lot of opportunity to bring you as much coverage of the UK flag football scene in a variety of different shows across the First and 15 South coverage.
Don't worry though, we're still going to be doing the game day reviews that you know and love and still hearing from those same voices and opinions that I'm sure you really, really have missed over your winter break from Lewis, Home Alone, Gareth and Luke. But in between now and the first game day, we'll be releasing a few new shows and maybe even an explosive interview or two. But for now, enjoy listening to me and Matt talk about some of the off-season tournaments that have happened. Firstly, Matt, welcome to the show. Nice to have you.
Appreciate you having me, man.
It's always good to have a different voice. And of course, I'm sure along our journey, we're going to be joined by some of our more normal voices. Certainly when Lewis isn't having a kid as well, that'll help out, right?
Yeah, that does make a bit of a difference. But yeah, I think people know that I love a good chat. So this is kind of perfect for me, yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely. But anyway, enough about the others. Let's talk about our off-season. So it's been, I think, quite a busy period over the flag winter. I don't know about you, but there's certainly been a lot of tournaments that I've been at.
Yeah, there's been a few that have been knocked down at the moment. You know, we had a bit of fun towards the end of last year, and I think going into this year now, it comes fast. You have a bit of a gap of a month or so, and it comes thick and fast, man.
100%, 100%. And you know, in that January period where we've all just come back off Christmas, you're going, well, actually, the pace is different now. We've got to get back up to speed right before we get into March, before we get into Baffa season. I know you and me are itching to talk about Pink Bowl as much as possible, but we're going to save that a little bit until we can get some of the other guys on the show and talk about that in a little bit more detail. But if you weren't aware, guys, we did win Pink Bowl.
And obviously,
really, really hard to miss. We might have said it a few times on socials. And obviously, I'm sure Lewis is going to want to talk about SWS as well, but we'll leave that until we've got Lewis back on to talk about that. So let's skip ahead and I guess talk about some of the other tournaments we've been involved with. Matt, what do you want to start with? Do you want to start with Flagging New Year or Flagging Iron Man?
Yeah, man, you have to fill me in on what happened and how you did, because, obviously I know you did ask me, but I decided to take the January off to, as you say, get up to speed, because you know you wait for so long after finishing winning Pink Bowl, but you want to make sure you're right going into the season, because as I found out already, it comes thick and it comes fast, and you need to be straight in at the deep end, especially now it's my first season in the Prem. So you got to open up, man. What happened?
This really your first season in the Prem? I forget this.
I mean, if you want to call the two last game days I played in the Prem, but it was literally two games back and I couldn't finish the third against Reading. And then I played one game against Cheltenham on game day six. So,
wow.
To be honest, I wouldn't really count it.
It's comeback season, man. It's comeback season. Anyway, we'll talk Cardiff. We'll talk Cardiff later in the show. Let's talk about Flagging New Year then. So, biggest one of Flagging New Year, I'd say, to date. Not in terms of number of teams. They worked the teams down as a kind of format for this tournament. The last year, for context, those guys who weren't there the year before or this year, they had a women's bracket on the same weekend. They moved that out to a different date to try and make the teams and the day go a little bit more smoother, which I have to say I was really, really impressed with. Credit to Alan Young for the organisation of that. I did manage to catch him at the end to say well done on it, because to be fair, they took a lot of the feedback they had last year on board. And it was a really, really well-run event up in Ravenscraig, if not for the fact that we got caught in a storm halfway trying to come home, a bit of a... Yeah, yeah. I mean, trying to ring up work on Sunday night going, by the way, I'm stuck in Glasgow, was not as entertaining as you think it might be, because really we all wanted to be out and do what Ash Lewis did and just take the day off and go out for a drink on Sunday, but we didn't do that.
That's all right for some, isn't it?
Yeah. That goes into planning, and I really should plan harder to have my drink. But yeah, got to go up with Reading, my old team. Obviously, we had a few of the boys that were playing with GB, so we were without Isaac, we were without JT, and we were without Holwell, which meant I was playing quarterback again. Solid team. We had Nathan from Cheltenham joining us as well as one of my close teammates and friends, and then the normal crew. So Home Alone, Martine. Jack Wright joined us from Swansea, actually, on one of his first, I think it was his first ever tournament outside of the sort of southern region, which is cool for him. And then we had on defense Elliot, Cal, and Hegarty as well. And then we had a first timer as well in terms of adult football from a guy from Surrey University who is coached by Elliot called Ed. And then a little bit of a cameo from Vin Berry right at the end that we won't mention too much, playing one of our games because we were a little bit short.
That's a good team there. And just to go back to what you're saying about Jack Wright, like I've seen a bit of him. They have some good guys down there in Swansea. I got to give credit to him.
Yeah, he was over the weekend. He was amazing, I have to say. And for someone going into their first tournament, and you'll know what it's like. You go there and you've almost got no expectation of what it's going to be like and what the standard's going to be, what different teams are going to be. You've heard of some of these teams like the Glasgow Hornets. Ooh, I wonder what they're like when you actually play them. And you know, I think we learned a lot on that day to see what they were like. But Jack was amazing over the whole weekend. Just to run through the results for, and I'm sure people will know the Reading results anyway because they'll pay close attention to some of the socials. Went through the group stage and went 3-2. We lost to Kalakaku and Glasgow Hornets by 6 and 7 points each, respectively, which is, to be fair, I think respectable against those two teams. Matt, have you had an opportunity to play Kalakaku?
Yes, I played them in King Ball, I believe, with the South West Dragons. But I have seen them at multiple tournaments. I mean, as any tournaments, when you go to a few of them, the rosters kind of adjust a little bit here and there, so not the same faces. But the first time we played them, they had a, you could see they had again, I don't know them personally, I haven't really had a conversation, but they got some talents there, guys that can really play.
Hugely There was a few familiar faces from that Ragnarok team we played at Pink Bowl, not Ragnarok, Juggernauts, sorry, my bad. Juggernauts team we played at Pink Bowl, which you know, they sort of clocked by the end of it who we were. But they did have the French national team backup QB as well playing for them, I think, who was their normal QB. And my God, that man's got an arm. And it was a really exciting game that went on with GB later in the top bracket. But yeah, coming back to Reading, so I went 3-2 in the group stages, went into the plate bracket as the, I don't know what seed we were because it's all made up, ended up drawing Aberdeen Oil Cats and won a thrilling game. Jack Wright again shouting that guy out, caught a game winner in the back of the end zone with a 1 foot in sort of catch, and a bit of shenanigans from us then to waste 15 seconds running backwards towards our own end zone, which is always one of the funnier plays in flag football. Then got to go all that way to Scotland to play the Chichester Sharks in the semis. Which is, and I've said this stat many, many times, I've played Neil Henderson's team, I think, probably 26 times. And my first win against him came last year when we played them at Sport Munda. And he claims it's not a real win because he didn't have his full Sharks team out. Well, he had a full Sharks team out today and there was no excuses. Although he wasn't playing quarterback, Matt.
Oh, who did they have at QB?
They had, and I don't know his surname, and I really should know his surname, but a young guy called George who comes out of the South Coast Spitfires program, who was part of the GB youth team last year at quarterback. And let me tell you, I think he's 17, 18, right? This man's a dog. He is throwing full length of the field touchdowns already at that age. He's going to be scary from years to come. And don't get me wrong, he's been running Neil's system that whole time he's been in that South Coast Spitfires. So he's coming in day one and knows exactly what he's doing. Very, very scary. And they've also got another receiver who's 16 called Mateo, who is just like, you know, we've just had the sad news that Shorty's retired. And I'm sure we can talk about that when we do our transfers and outgoings show. But Mateo is just like, okay, cool. We've just made another Shorty and he's just going to run around people. That Sharks team is scary good. Scary
you
good.
You go to all these like game days and tournaments and like, you'd think it would be year on year, like you see new faces, but obviously with the way the sport's going at the moment, like you go to a game there or a tournament and some guy or just some kid has just signed on and they're crazy. Like, yeah. I'm alluding to it at the moment, but one of the guys on Flag and Ball Z, I knew of him, but like 18, I think he said he was, made some unbelievable, outrageous plays. And like I say, they come out of nowhere, and all of a sudden you've got this new stud on at the flag football scene.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's happened to me every single time. Every year I come into flag, you think, yeah, I know exactly what the landscape is. I know exactly what to expect. And we all do it. We all do our little maths at the start of the year going, yeah, that we can beat them because we've gotten better than them this year. And then they add if we go back to the Sharks, they add a Jules Griffiths, because that was a couple of years. He came from nowhere. And you're like, oh my God, this is an amazing receiver. Now we've got this different threat we've got to deal with. And yeah, man, the Sharks have just reloaded again. But anyway, going back to that semi-final, little bit of controversy in the game, and I'm sure Sharks won't mind me shouting that out. Some interesting reffing calls. But we came away with a 2-point win in the end, which put us into the final against the Boys, who are essentially most of the Amsterdam Panthers and friends. Tight game again. Had a 2-minute drill to go down the field and try and win it. And Martin won't mind me saying we did have the ball in the end zone in his hands, and it did manage to go through his hands, unfortunately. So there was a drop at the end. Bit of a shame, but one of those ones where you've played 2 days, you're tired. It's the plate final. It's not the final. So your focus is, you're not going to be 100% dialed in at that point. So one of those ones. But I have to say, a really good bunch of guys, the Boys. Lots of love for them. They've been chatty on social media afterwards as well. They're coming to Flagapalooza and they're hyped to come and just come and be amongst the English scene, shall we say. I think they understand pop culture well enough to know what that tournament's going to be like. So, a good outing from Reading over the weekend. Good to see Jack Wright get his first tournament experience. I think he's definitely fired up to go to one of those King Bowl or Big Bowl tournaments now.
Yeah, I think it's right in what you said. Also, I'm a big fan of that name if it's the Boys that I'm thinking of.
It is exactly what you're thinking of.
Big fan of that then. I think when you're talking about first time at these tournaments, I think the tournament formats can catch you out because, if I had my first year where I got welcomed to it quite trial by fire. But when you've been playing in just like BAFA, or in the end of the leagues where you go to a game day and you've got 3 games, and sometimes it's 2 back-to-back, a gap, and then one, or in any order you can have 2 games or 3 games. Going into a tournament where there's 6 games and there's 2 hours between them, or any hour between, and you stop start, like obviously the sport is stop start, but when you go 100% for that however long the clock is in the tournament rules, to then having to slow down for an hour or two to then get back up, it does drain some guys who are not used to it. It is harsh massively. Sometimes, especially when you have a 2-dayer as well.
Massively. And I've got to say, and this is a self shout out, I took 2 reps off the whole weekend and I was going both ways the whole day. So
I know what you're capable of, bro. I've seen it in the flesh.
It's giving something for a guy that doesn't like going out and having a jog. Some fitness exists. Good weekend overall. And I think Jack adapted to it well. I'm sure we'll see him in the tournament scene again. We've got to cover GB because GB were there as well. And obviously there's some interest from a lot of our Southern representatives in that group. They had a really, really interesting day one. I'm not going to call it out and say that they weren't as dialed in as they possibly could have been, because you don't know what's going in with some people's heads. I know they were missing a few guys that they would have otherwise liked to have had in that team, but they still had a very, very strong team, as you'd expect. Had an interesting group stage where I think they dropped one game to one of the Irish teams. I want to say Cravenday Cowboys off the top of my head, which was a bit of a shock. So it put them 4-1. They still qualified for the top bracket. Had Kalika Kalu in the quarterfinals, which I managed to ref. Really, really good game. I think that was a bit of a bogey team for them because there was a lot of hype after that win. Managed to get through their semi-final into the final against Bold City College. Now, Matt, before flagging New Year, had you ever heard of Bold City College?
I can't say I have.
No, neither had I. So all I knew about them before the weekend was they were an American team. And you know what it's like in flag football in the UK, in Brit ball at all, contact or whatever. Someone says, oh, they're American. You immediately go, oh, they must be sick, right? And then, I don't know about you, sometimes they are. Sometimes they're just some dude from next door type good, you know, average, should we say.
I think what doesn't help at the moment is especially the surge in flag football, obviously the Olympic and all I've had across my timeline is seeing all the actual NFL teams with their youth programs coming in, and you see the Jags have it, and I mean, you know, I could list off all the NFL teams. They're all trying to push it. So when you think of, and every player always talks about how they started from such a young age playing flag to begin with. So yeah, when you say an American team, you expect them to have been born and bred into this kind of thing.
100%. And if I said the name to you, John Louis Hernandez, would you know who that is?
I wouldn't, but that's a cool last name.
It's a cool name, right? And he's got Lulu on the back of his shirt, which is just like, it's so much cooler. Only after the fact did I then realize that Lulu is a US national team DB that we went up against, which is kind of crazy, right?
That's wild.
This, when I say this dude is another level, oh my God. Let me give props to the quarterback. I think his name was Tronsky, who, and if you don't follow USA flag football out there, guys who are listening, go out and follow these guys, because they did a ranking of the top 100 players across the USA flag football landscape. Our own Vince Macchi from Team GB got number 76. Huge props and shout out to him. But the QB from Ball City College ended up 92. Lulu Hernandez ended up, I think, player... It may not have even got down as far as him, but I know they ranked out the DBs and he was the number 7 DB in the USA flag football scene, which is wild when you consider some of the Mexican team are playing over there, some of the Canadian team are playing over there as well. And yeah, this guy was playing in humble old Great Britain up in Glasgow in the middle of January. And I talked to a few people over the weekend and they sort of said, well, Ball City College, they're okay. They talk a lot because they're USA. They play the game in that arrogant way, but they're okay in the group stages. And people are like, oh, they might go, you know, fourth, third. We got to that final, man, and oh my God, did they dial in. It was like the whole weekend they'd just been sat in third gear mucking around, and then suddenly it was like, bang, we are going to be able to complete everything on anybody where we need to. There were some amazing breakups from Team GB. Don't get me wrong. I think Ozzy had one where he absolutely laid a guy out. And it was one of those ones where even the Americans were saying, in the US, that doesn't get called. Definitely in the UK, it does. We want to protect them. We're safety focused, which is good. Yeah, Team GB put up a really, really good fight in this game. But Bold City, man, they just blew it away. And I don't know if you saw the pictures on socials, but... John Louis managed to win MVP for the tournament, and he got a massive sword as his MVP trophy, which he had to try and get through customs.
Did you just say a sword?
A sword, dude. I'm talking 7 feet in length sort of sword.
That sounds like some anime type of stuff, that.
It. To be fair, the pictures did go hard. They were good. They were good Instagram pictures. Yeah,
like, I remember seeing, I think it was Mass Flag at Big Bowl in 2022, and they had a guy at QB, and I've, like, the way he twists, ducks, dips, whatever you want to call it, at such a speed and could move his body, and the way they were throwing it back and forth each other, it was flowing. You know, sometimes when you watch a sport and you kind of think, oh, like, that's scripted, you know? Like,
yeah.
I went to watch Barcelona once, and I just thought I watched a performance, not a sporting match, you know what I mean? With the way they carry the ball around. Just seeing those guys throw the ball back and forth to each other and the plays they were, like you say, dialed in, they make the plays they need to, and... So when you say that, I can completely understand what you guys saw.
It's just an incredible level of execution. I think in the UK, obviously we're picking the sport up. Most of us from our generation, I'd say, definitely are picking it up more like that 18 to 19 region. Obviously, there's a great amount of youth now that are picking up the sport, and that'll change. But we're all focused on how do we execute the basics really, really well. Those guys are executing high level stuff as like daily sort of stuff, right? And when you watch, you just go... Personally, as someone that's playing a lot more DB now, you go, I don't know how I stop that. I don't know how I start to approach that problem in front of me, other than, hey, why don't we just go man, and I hope I'm a better athlete. And then you see it's in the US national team, and you go, all bets are off, man. So it's crazy. But it's nice. I think for the UK football scene, it's really good to see, obviously, those US teams willing to travel over here. It was good to see Team GB... And obviously it's the silvers, not the golds. There's no knock there, but it's the silver team. Be able to give them a good game and say that actually we can be competitive in the mixed bracket. Obviously we've seen our women's teams do really, really well on a national level, both in club and in internationals as well. So yeah, it was good. It was a good benchmarking for the sport moment. You know, it's it's one of those things that I'd almost, and I don't genuinely know whether we've had many US national teams come over here and play tournaments before I was involved in the sport, but it's a proper milestone in my head that says actually that's as close as we are to the top of the game right now. And I think there's still some journey to go, but it's not where it would have been, say, 5-6 years ago. I would have said we were 30 years away from being at that level where we could potentially compete. Now I look at it and I go, maybe it's 5, maybe it's 6 years, which bodes well, obviously, if we've got LA 28.
Yeah, I think, across what you said as well, like where the guys at the Silvers get to play them, it's also a huge learning curve for them. And they get to see, realistically, apart from the gold above them, there's not many opportunity where they get a team of Americans to come in and show them where their level's at. And they get to learn from that itself.
100%.
But also what you're saying about, you know, going back to what we said about these new guys that just pop out anywhere with this talent, like, the bar is getting set higher and higher and higher as more people come into this sport. And as we're finding, it's getting harder and harder because that talent gap.
Oh, yeah.
And they got more time to improve on top of you.
I don't know about you. First time I played flag, it was very Sunday league. And now it feels more, I'm not going to call it professional, but there's definitely elements of, like, there's people taking it very, very seriously, doing the right things with their routine, doing the right things in the gym, looking to improve their flag football specific skills. It's not just a casual sport anymore, flag football in the UK. And it's good. It's good to have those level setters, like you say.
Yeah, my I think, because I never played in the league until post lockdown. So any time I ever played flag football was friendlies against Swansea, I think one or two against Cardiff, and then when the Coyotes like started, and just I think teams in the Southwest series. So as you say, like when that level is, and it's all players who probably, when you look back at it, were probably developing in your learning, and then you go into when we had the Welsh regional, you know, all the lockdown leagues.
Yeah.
And then you, in two games against the Canes, you score 7 points, and they've almost put 100 on you across the two games. You kind of go, there's a long way up here. Like there is a bit of a difference. And then, as you say, you go abroad to tournaments and there's step up again and you see these different guys. I remember, I think it was one of the Dutch teams. This guy, I think he must have torn something in his leg, right? Because he was hobbling. He couldn't run. And they had a play either on offense or defense. It was in the end zone. And he's just hopped up on one leg over, I can't remember who it was, but it was someone probably average my height, 6'5", 11", whatever. And he's hopped up and his hand facing down has caught the ball and pulled it over the other guy's head and landed.
Wow.
And everyone was watching because it was like one of the middle fields and we've all just gone, what?
Yeah.
And the dude just took the touchback because obviously, you know, he's not going to run. But on one leg, he just did that. And obviously took it in an orthodox catch that we were all just like, wow.
Yeah, yeah. And you just see these players. I mean, you know, the sort of comparative story I always have is my friend Joe Birch joined the Kings back sort of 2 years ago. We had a friendly where Costas and Chris came down just to help us out with some numbers because we were doing a bit of publicity stuff. And it was like, it must have been Joe's third or fourth session. And he's going, I've sort of get the hang of this. He's been watching football for years. He kind of knows how DB goes. And, you know, I'm sort of going, okay, cool. I got him one-on-one with Costas on the outside. And I just get Costas to literally run a spot, you know, like 2-3 yards, dish him the ball. And Costas side jukes, not even jump cut. I'm talking just like put your right foot in the floor and just go lateral. And it's like a 5-yard horizontal cut. And I just look at Joe at DB and he just looks at me and goes, how did you do that? And it's that proper level setter of there are so many athletes in this game right now. We've got some here. There are loads obviously in the States right now that it keeps it interesting. You're never going to go to a tournament and think, gosh, we this is easy, unless you play for the Smoke, maybe. You're never going to go there and think, oh gosh, this is easy. There's always another level that can be cracked on with.
Shout out Mike Arcastus, man.
that dude's like, insane.
When I was watching him when I was with Gwent was one thing, and then when I got obviously get to play with him now, like just going doing sessions with each other as we try and help each other out, that guy just
such freak, a cheat code. When you're at QB, you can just, okay, he's there, cool, let me just give him the ball.
It's the most beautiful thing for me, you know, going from an offense where I would, you know, the focus would kind of be on me a little bit, lent on, to now not being that guy, and it's all Costas, And I'm like, okay, I can live with this because this means I'm probably going to get more of the ball.
Let's talk Flag and Ironman, because obviously I didn't get the opportunity to go up to this tournament because I was at GB Youth doing some coaching there. So Matt, why don't you take us through Flag and Ironman? You were playing for Flag and Ball Z, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, Lewis called me to play for Flag and Ball Z. And, you know, I think it was one of those things where I just, when it got asked to me, like I said to you when you asked me about Flag and New Year, it was coming along the time where I was, you know, I think I'll be ready for this. And I said yes, and then turns out Lewis wasn't even going. So I was going into a WhatsApp chat where I didn't know who I was playing with. So this was going to be fun. And
that's kind of wild as well, isn't it? When you get into those moments where you think, ooh, I don't know what I've signed up to here. I hope everybody's at a good level, because it might just be a weekend of me getting all the ball.
That was so my initial thoughts. Like, I saw Coach Mead, Dan Birch, Cooley Joy, and I was like, oh, that's three guys who can get me the football. And these were people, like I saw in the chat, so also Sunshine and Aiden Marcelli. And I literally was like, again, these are guys who can get me the football. I knew of them. Like, I'd been in games against them very temporarily, or I'd heard of them. So I hope I haven't left anyone out in that conversation there. But, you know, it was good to get in. We went up there on the Friday. Meeting Ethan.
I was going to say, Ethan was your other guy, right? Yeah.
I tell you what, and I can't believe I missed him out. That guy.
Hips, right?
Balled out, man. I couldn't believe it, because I've played against him against Exeter. That was it, like in Southwest Series when I was saying. Exeter were one of those teams that I constantly played. And I don't know whether, like, he just had another opportunity because we shut him down, maybe. But... or he's just taken to, I don't even know what it is. But that guy, first few games, my God, did he carry.
Yeah. Ethan's game has, like, leveled up, I would say, over the last 18 months. I've started to notice it. He was always a decent player, definitely at Exeter. But it's been one of those where the offense has been tweaked to work around him in the year where he was leading up to Exeter. And obviously, he's now with the Kings, and we've seen him a bit at SWS. And he's developed himself into quite a powerful center. You know, again, going back a few years, probably pre-COVID, the only centers I knew really that were capable of running a broader root tree were your Chris Jones type players, or maybe Shorty. And now Ethan's kind of getting to that level, right? And we're talking about a premiership level player here. And you're right, yeah, he goes to tournaments. He was at Flagging New Year with the Utrecht Dominators, and he was just like, you get him the ball and he was the guy making yards. He's making people miss. And that's the hardest skill to get right, right? Everybody can run a route, and if you're in space, catch a ball. Ball in hand, turn around, four guys in front of you. Can I make two of them miss and get that extra bit of separation? He does that so well.
I tell you what, like, you've summed it up perfectly there, because that's exactly what it was. The guy had such safe hands and always managed to just get wherever the route was, get underneath, get the ball and make two people miss and give us those extra yards that you wouldn't, like, in any situation, no matter who's got the ball and you see like two people breaking down and you're like, oh, okay, you know, we stop here. Nah, guy was making a miss, was making the plays needed, scored so many like touchdowns. And to be honest, he got us going. And shout out to the Duck Man. I love his warm-up regime. He's just crouched down, waddling forward. It was the funniest thing, man.
It works for him, though. It works for him. And we're going to talk format in a minute for Ironman, right? But especially in that format where you're so short on people, and people have got to, you know, play both ways and all of that. If you've got a guy that's making defenders work and have to come down and tackle him, have to work as a unit, there can't be one-on-one situations. It can't be lazy. Really is a game breaker for people. And sort of, Matt, I guess my follow-up question in that is, how did you deal with the format personally? And how do you think teams around you dealt with that format?
I think individually I did all right, because through...
Sorry, role... I should give some context for Flag and Ironman. Sorry for those people that probably don't know before you go on. So Flag and Ironman, you're allowed to bring six, I believe,
yes.
And seven if you've got a female player.
That's correct.
Right, okay, cool. So obviously you've got a lot of people playing both ways. So Matt, how did you deal with it?
So I individually, fortunately, the guys wanted to... run out on defense a bit more, and I think I was kept more for the offensive side of the ball, but obviously, you know, giving out full output in that context because I could go for it. I've, from my experience, obviously not so much last year as I was out, but the year before, I wasn't, sort of the flip the other way around, I wasn't used to tournaments abroad or going outside of the South region, where any tournament I'd been to abroad was six games, gaps in between, because I'd been to King Ball, and I'd been to Big Ball, and then obviously Pink Ball. Those were the main three. So all
what happened to Pink Bowl? Did we win that?
Oh, I think we did.
I think we might have won that.
I think we won that.
But I mentioned it.
But you know, all those tournaments have those systems. So for me, it was kind of like the usual. I knew what I was expecting going into it, and also I've spent a lot of time in the off season trying to get myself up to speed. Obviously, going to Cardiff now and with my first season with Prem, I'm seeing the guys, like we talked about Costas and his ability, and everyone knows the guys, Joe, Chris. Did just that level, you got to get up there. So I'd been taking my time to do that. I think when you said about flagging New Year and some of the guys with their first tournament, if this is your first tournament and all you've done is two games, three games per game day, and you know the gaps between are just a game, then you're not going to be used to this. And I think some teams did in the later stages get caught out because they were just gassed, because they, you know, they started really strong. And again, are not used to that format. So they're not taking probably the correct steps to try and save yourself, whether that be what you're eating in between games or trying to warm down and warm up when the timing's right. And so, you know, there was a few evidence there of teams kind of losing that were kind of shocking, not to out them, but like this, they kind of surprised a few people because they gassed out.
Yeah. Absolutely. And Iron Man does that to teams. And to be fair, I think this is why we've seen teams like the Smoke do so well historically in those types of situations. I appreciate they didn't win it this time. We should shout out Grangemouth for their big win at the Iron Man. But we know those Smoke guys condition really, really harshly in their training sessions. I mean, the rumors going around that they just go to Clapham Common and play for 4 hours straight, no break. And it develops those types of traits where they're just able to go and go and go and go. And they've always been so consistent at that format of tournament about being able to continuously turn over and play well and be reliable as well. Because if you get one injury, you're done, aren't you? You've got five out of five at that point. Absolutely. And then I guess the only other thing to shout from Iron Man, right? Oh, well, obviously you guys went on and won. Did you win the plate?
Yeah, so I got to give it credit to the guys, like, for a bunch, I think some of them may have played together before. You know, Coach Mead had Cooley Joy and Sunshine before from various teams, whether that be region or not. I'd played with Dan in two training sessions. I'd had like a game and a half with him. I knew some of the guys from the region's game day and like Exeter, obviously Ethan. So, and I knew of Aiden, but like never seen him play. I just knew him, heard his name.
How good is he? How good is Aiden?
Just like this guy, man. It was the only way I can sum it up, right? It was the last play of the game in the plate final. I don't mean to skip ahead, but I think Alan Young just threw one up right at the end of the game.
You mean Alan Mead?
No, Alan Young now.
Oh, of course, sorry. You were playing Glasgow Killer Bees, weren't you? Yeah.
So he's thrown one up for a contested catch, like right at the end, back left side of the end zone. And Aiden and whoever his receiver were hip and hip. And Aiden, with his sort of back, you know, sort of diagonal, his body diagonal, with his sort of torso towards the receiver, has just stuck his right arm out, caught it over his head and tucked it in, toe dragged in the end zone and ended the game. Yeah, we started out strong. We went, I think the final record was 2-2-1. By the time we got to the later two games, we knew we were in the plate at a minimum because we had two wins and a draw, which we managed to get against the Hornets, which we thought was a good result. So we were on 2.5 and the two teams below us were on zero. So we were like, okay, at worst, we go into the play and we go win that thing. And if we can sneak in a victory or two against what we said were probably the stronger teams, we were going to do that. So unfortunately, it didn't go our way, but we went into the plate. And I mean, again, like I say about you're learning each other along the way, or I was specifically, and we just went from strength to strength. Like we were just going down the field, making stops, and it was just so much fun. And the best teams that I've ever been on are ones that just have that underlying, like, there's no need to talk about what's going on, and you know, you need to have a bit of a talk between the team and say, like, look, we need to step up here, or it's just that quiet head nod that everyone knows they've got a job to do and you can go out and win. Yeah. And that was pretty much what it was.
It's always that, I always go back to that Cam Newton meme, if you've ever seen it, where I think it's the Patriots they're playing, they score, and he just sort of, he nods and then looks at the camera and just looks away, right? And it's just like, okay, it's time to go. And everybody knows it. I'm totally with you. Those best teams that I've ever played on, everybody knows their job. Everybody's accountable. No one's having a go at each other. It's just, right, get on with it. We know what we've got to do. Let's just do it. No one has to say anything. And it's always bliss when we get to that. Cool. We'll move on to a section we're calling the Current Flow, which is a great name from yourself, Matt. Just to talk about Neptunes and Hurricanes talk and preseason. I'm sure if we grab Lewis and Home Alone and Luke and Gareth onto this, we'll start to add some of their teams as well and just talk about some of what's going on in their camps. What do you want to start with, Matt? Do you want to start Hurricanes? Do you want to start Neptunes?
I think with everything that's been going on, I think you have a lot to talk about the sort of. I know we kind of want to like give a bit more into another show about transfers, but all the talks about the Neptunes and their picks, man, and bringing them in, and you gotta let me know. We gotta start with that.
Yeah, and yeah, you're right. We should do a proper transfer roundup for the South, really, shouldn't we? Maybe we'll cover that next. But yeah, we've added a few players, obviously. And yeah, so how much detail do you want me to go into, I guess, about Neptunes? I'll do top line in terms of the movers and shakers, because I'll save some stuff, right? So we've added Ash Lewis at quarterback, myself at apparently athlete, according to our social media, which, I mean, it's just hilarious, right?
Good depth.
And then Nathan Nuzzle, who was a receiver with me at Kings last year, is one of my best mates, has joined us as well, because he actually lives in Cheltenham, so it's makes perfect sense for him, and he was part of that pink ball winning team we had. Very, very good player. Only been playing for 12 months, but you know, great addition for the team as well. Yeah, man, Neptunes look, I think, good. It's tough because you don't want to say too much and raise expectations massively, because last year I can't remember what their record was, but they were in that relegation bracket. They had a good overall weekend when they had that relegation. That was the first time I'd seen them all year, because they had Sam Harvey playing QB. They beat Cougars, they beat Kings, they beat Swansea, so they clean sweep, so they were safe. So coming off the back of what I think was quite a tough season, I've always said this with Neptunes, they were a quarterback or two away from being quite a dangerous team, right? And it's like buses, apparently. When you get one, you get two, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah, they got some good guys. Like, you can see they have talent there, and the guys you've brought in, I think, is going to complement them a lot more. And I'm excited for them, because, and for yourself, because, like you say, that's an exciting team. There's a lot of potential there. And, you know, their record last year, again, with the guys they got, there wasn't a fair record on who they are. And I think now they're going to be able to be a really dangerous team, and I think surprise a few people.
Yeah, I mean, I naturally could shout out the whole team, because I think our top, I mean, we've got two teams now, so I can go very, very deep with my names if I need to. I'd say our top 16 is one of the strongest I've seen in terms of a team coming out. To have, it's not only that top level that needs to be good in the Prem, right? It's, you have to have depth. Injuries do happen. Availability is always a thing. You have to be fluid with it. And Dan Selwood, I've got to give him a shout out as well, in terms of being a head coach and developing players as well. There's a lot of guys that are coming down and playing football for the first time, and their levels are going up week by week by week, which I always love to see as part of that coaching cycle. Sort of news from us, really, in terms of fixtures. So obviously, we had SWS. We played before Christmas. We sent most of our ones outside of the few injuries we had in the November tournament, and did quite well in that. Came third. Lost to your Flagging Ball Z team in an interesting semi-final, which we won't go into too much depth about, because we'll do a proper SWS wrap-up. And then we sent our twos, or a mixture of our twos and ones, to the second SWS game day, and they had a pretty good outing. And then we've sent our the Flood, which is our two's name, to IFL this weekend, who went into the plate final and narrowly lost by a point to the Leicester Huntsman as well. So good development overall in the club, I'd say. Good prep going in for Premiership season. Got a friendly upcoming soon against Manchester Crows and Reading Devils as well, which will be a nice tester for us. Two very different teams, but two very experienced teams with lots of GB talent in there as well. So going to be a good weekend, I think.
Widely misinterpreted that there is not a gap between, but the level of play can sometimes be quite surprising from the Div 1 teams up to the Prem ones, especially yourself.
I think there's a misconception in some of the tournament play that goes on, especially let me take something like SWS is a good example. I think some of the charity tournaments that go on in the South are good examples where you get Premiership teams like Northants, for example, don't bring all their guys. And then they get playing against a Swansea team who have got everybody there. And you end up with that tight result and you go, oh, well, there's not much of a gap between the Prem and the... No. When it's a Baffa game day, the standard is, everybody's switched on. Everybody's done their scout work. They've done their game planning. Everybody is up for it and they're willing to go for it on that moment. And that gap, I have to say, is being part of that promotion relegation game set last year. It's well and truly there. There is absolutely a difference. It'll be interesting to see, and we'll do a bit of Div 1 talk as well when we get the guys from that side on the show later down in the cycle. But it'll be interesting to see who we think those top teams are coming out of Div 1 next year. But anyway, enough about Neptunes. Tell me about Hurricanes, because you guys have also had a few additions. You've also been making some moves. You've also been sliding into some DMs.
Yeah, we've... You know, obviously, last year was a shipwreck.
It was tough, right?
You know, it all started back when we were in Champs Ball in Croatia. Kostas went down, then Chris went down, then Kostas went down, then I went down. And Chris and Kostas had a bit more of a minor injury, and mine basically took me out for 9 months. So that was a start. Yeah. Not that it made too much of a difference, but then... Come preseason.
Bro, I remember my heart sinking for you. It was like you'd had your big move to Cardiff, because obviously that West community in Div 1 is quite close, right? We all know each other well. And we were like, we were hyped. He's going to go do bits in the Prem. You went to Champs Ball. And it was like, there's Bork in a wheelchair. Bro, what happened? Oh, I'm dead. Oh, cool. All right. Season done? Yeah. Oh, that's... And it was just like that. It was like, okay, cool. See you next year. See you in 24.
You know, yeah, I think you're absolutely right in you saying that then. I suppose you could say it's my breakout year. It all clicked for me.
So it broke, yeah.
Yeah, and a lot more clicking happened towards the end.
Yeah.
And I was so excited. And, you know, you go to Champs Ball, which is, we're talking about quality in tournaments and stuff. Like, that was brutal and that was harsh. But
yeah,
it all came tumbling down for me. But, you know, you look at that and you think of the positive side and you go, okay, like, my road back was going to be, don't worry, the guys are all going to be back healthy, we're going to make a run, and as long as I can be healthy back for finals or towards the end and I can get in, we'll make a run and we'll go for the national championship. That's the idea, because
that's your blue sky thinking.
Yeah, as you know, the team before went undefeated all the way until the final and the only new addition was me, so it was kind of like, okay, we can make this work. Then obviously Dorado Bowl comes around and we lose Mr. Cottrell, and you know, then Kostas is hamstring, and like, you know, he wanted family time, and Chris wasn't fully back from his injury, and it was kind of that point where we were like, I think we need to just slow this down, let's shut this down, not entirely, but you know, do what we need to do.
Yeah, keep the lights on, but
keep the lights on, and just make sure we survive and we come back next year, and just have to accept it. And thankfully, you've done that now. So on a lighter note, coming into this season. Obviously we lost Dylan, who's basically, he's gone crazy with his like business side. He started his own company and it's kicking off, and he's sort of, you know, life, you have to make some adjustments sometimes.
Yeah, and I think for him, sometimes life is above flag, right?
Yeah, 100%. And when that's kicking off, and from everything I've seen of him so far, where he's going and, you know, the business deals he's making or whatever he's put in there is really like impressive. So I understand. So priorities change. So losing him, and obviously him going to Coyotes, is a massive loss for us. He's a great receiver and he makes them a lot better and makes them a good little team there. I think he complements them well with what they need. But on the flip side, we managed to bring in a certain Drake Ayers, which...
Yeah, who's okay. He's
yeah,
all right.
Yeah, he's all right, you know. So it wasn't obviously going to miss Dylan so much. Like, I wish I could have played with him a lot more. He's one of the guys I've really enjoyed being around, and he's such a great character to have. And obviously, you know, solid receiver. It's such a loss when you lose a guy who's got, you know, can make the plays you need at the right moments. But Dre coming in, big boost to us, makes things a bit exciting. And everyone welcomes him in, and he's been making the effort, man.
And love that.
With training. And moving on to that, one of the things I've known us to sort of struggle with in the past is sort of recruitment, nailing down. And I got to give it to Chris Jones, man. He has been a machine this year. He's been putting time and effort in trying to bring new faces in and get them to training. And that's one thing by itself. Because the other thing is, obviously, with the guys there and the level we try and play at and the standards we set, and we're very vocal about that, it's easy to get sort of, if you're a person coming in for the first time and, you know, you've just liked the American football,
yeah,
and you're learning flag for the first time and you see Costas, and we've said about Costas prior, like his ability, you can get kind of disheartened because you're like, oh, I'm never going to like.
It's a lot to come into, and like, and I've heard, obviously, I've never been to a Hurricanes training, but I've heard stories where it's like, you know, there's a no drop rule, full stop. And if that's your first session, that's a tough standard to hit. You can't, you know, and I'm sure it's not like that for brand new guys to just be like, come in and then just get slated for a drop. But it's got to be intimidating as an environment to have to come into.
Absolutely. When I went over there, and I've said this to Joe before, like when we were in our first training, we're doing just easy ups, and first pass he threw to me, I dropped. And I was like, ah. But because of the sort of history and what I'd put out on the field beforehand, I was like, okay, like this is fine. Like I know I'm better than this. Like I can just come back and do it. But I understand that level of intimidation for people when they're coming in. But I gotta say, man, like us this year, not to give, you know, but these guys that have come in, and I gotta give props to them. They've come in, they've understood the assignment, and I just can't believe the level that they're trying to get to and the effort they're trying to put in. Because us as a team, obviously, again, off the back of last year, going into that team this year, the motivation, the energy, and the commitment is there. And even from the rookies, like, we've set the bar, we've showed them what level we're at, and they're trying to get up there. And I gotta give a shout out to one of the new boys, Ollie Cooper, man. He's in his fifth or sixth session. Night and day difference. My guy is taking everything in. He wants to be a part of it. He wants to get in. He wants to get reps. And everything, ability as a receiver, just different. When we had the friendly against Swansea, we made sure he got a fair whack and get him in there, making plays like he was just part of the team. And you wouldn't
know
if he'd literally had four sessions.
There's nothing that overcomes game reps, in my opinion, for new players, right? Receiver is so much more different, I think, to every other position, because there's less situational awareness that has to go in at that starting bedding in phase. You know, if you're a DB, QB, blitzer, even center, I think there's a lot of game awareness you have to have from day one. But receiver, you can sort of let that go for a little bit and then learn that down the line.
It's a good starting point, because if you learn receiver, you can sort of branch off into the other positions, knowing 100%. What you know from those positions, whether that be what a QB needs to see from his receivers, or a DB looking at what you expect a receiver to do.
100%. Even, yeah, you're right. Even moving to center, going, right, there's just one more mechanic I need to learn how to snap. Obviously, appreciate it. Probably no one's unseating Chris Jones in that spot right now, but, you know, game's the game. I have to ask a tough question, Matt.
I bet you do.
Natty champ? ?
I think, and look, I don't know if the guys are going to be angry when we're speaking out on this.
Wait, is there a media rule that you're not allowed to say?
No. I feel like if anyone's going to be able to say a thing or two, I think it would be me. I think the guys trust me enough to say it to a point where it's acceptable. I think the expectation there is anything less than being there is a failure again. Like,
yeah.
You can't let the disappointment of last year let us just drop the standards and the expectation that we as the team have set. Me coming in my second technical second year now, like I knew what the goal was coming in. That's why I came here. Obviously it being, you know, near me or whatever, but I knew coming in what it meant and what was expected of me. And just because we had one year where a load of us were unavailable, doesn't mean the expectations change. We fully believe anything less, it's been a loss of a season, you know.
Love that. Love that. Cool. Well, look, that's enough of a bombshell, I think, to leave it on for this episode. Matt, I know you're going to be doing some work with First and 15 social media to try and get some Q&As going with some of our audience. So, guys, if you are listening to this right now and you've got some questions you want to throw at either myself, Matt, or any of the other guys that are involved in the South now rebranded from Flags the Hitches Show, please do chuck them on there and we'll try and answer them as this goes. Hopefully you've enjoyed this new format. If you have, then do let us know as well. I'm sure most of the people that listen to this have probably got one of our socials. Please do let us know. But for now, I've been Jay Ballamy, joined by Matt Burke, and we'll catch you next time.
Appreciate you guys. Thanks, Jay.